Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me.
Good morning, Tigger. Good morning. Good morning. Are you hungry?
Well, hello there. It's the morning after the rain. As I come to my rain gauge, we had 3.1 inches of rain last night. Might have been just over that, 3.2. We had rain, torrential rain, for I don't know, it was raining an hour before I went to bed, hard as it could rain, and it was raining the same as that when I went to bed. And I don't know how long it rained last night, but I know we have had significant rain. And we needed it. We'd been really, really dry for several days. And now finally, we've had, that's a lot of water, but we needed it. Everything was so dry, the yards and all. As I come out this morning, it's fresh and the birds are singing. The sun is not to be seen. It's cloudy. It's overcast. The light is up. Or the light is, the sky is lit up good, I should say. But it's cloudy, overcast. A little bit of fog. Not too bad. But it's about 25 after 6. Today is the 14th. I believe that's right. Let me check that. 14th of July, 2010, and you are listening to episode 59 of the 20 Minute Runner, and it's good to have you along with me today. When I was here the other day, when I was out standing where I am now, there was quite a bit of frogs, and I recorded some of that, and so why don't we go ahead and bring the frogs in now, gradually. Getting louder. And now they're at full blast. It was pretty amazing. Now that, my friend, is the sounds of summer. The frogs crying for rain, which they didn't get then, but they certainly got it last night. All right, it's good to have you for this episode. We're going to get started here running, and we'll pick it up in just a minute. We are almost 16 minutes into the run, and I'm practicing my chi. There's one other element that I've come across since I bought the book. And by the way, the book, Chi Running, is by Danny Dreyer, D-R-E-Y-E-R. I think his wife co-wrote it with him, or her name's on the front. It might be the Chi Walking they did together, but I've just started reading it. I've read through almost three chapters, getting into the more practical aspects of it. But he lays a philosophical framework for what Chi is. Now, from my perspective, I don't believe there's a life force, quote-unquote, that animates us in that sense. I believe it's the breath of God. Genesis 1, might be Genesis 2, says God breathed into man, he became a living soul. So, but at the same time, I don't knock the principles that she is espousing, even though from a theological, philosophical point of view, I don't necessarily embrace exactly what it espouses. But one of the things that he does mention in the book, which I need to read more on, is the pelvic tilt. Basically, if you put your hand bottom of your stomach and the flat of your back and push your pelvis forward just a little bit, where you actually, if you think about your belly button leaning out, pull your belly button more in, your body, your trunk, lower trunk, and as you do that, your pelvis is going to level. And that really does help you to maintain better posture. And so I'm having to remind myself as I run, not only run tall, relaxed, and lean, and all that, but I remind myself of that. And if you do that, that's where your core comes in, and you can feel that in your core muscles. And while I haven't gotten to that point in the book, I'm beginning to get the impression, although I'm not there yet, and I will put a link for his book on the website, but I'm beginning to get the impression that the only strength training you really would do would be for your core. Your legs don't need it, since you're not really incorporating all of the big muscle groups, and you're not really focusing on power running, where your muscles are doing all the work in your legs, but you're focusing on chi, allowing the core of your body to move you as you fall forward. And again, so far so good. Now, I must admit, while my right hip and left hip are pain-free, my left knee still bothers me a bit, even this morning. It's got an ache in it, and I'm not sure why. But I noticed that as I straighten the pelvic tilt, as I consciously do that, lengthen my spine and lean forward, let my legs just gently flip behind me. I think one of the things I tend to do is still land hard on my feet, even though I'm landing on the midfoot. But you want your legs to just follow your center of gravity, which is going to be your core area. And if you do that, stay tall, but lean from your ankles, you actually pick up speed. But your legs are behind you flipping, and whenever I do that, I do feel much less pressure on my knee. So, but my knee is hurting right now a little bit. We'll see how it goes. I'm still going to try this, and I think it'll work if I can get healthy and not perfect it, but at least get this form down properly. I really believe that it's the real deal. We've been running for 20 minutes, 30 seconds, and we just hit just over 2 miles. So we're just loping along at 10-minute mile at this point. I did want to give you a quick update on the gardening. We've got some tomatoes, little tomatoes. We've got cherry tomatoes, pear tomatoes, some of the small yellow ones. I can't explain them all, but we've got 6 different varieties, one bush of each, and especially smaller variety tomatoes. We're really getting a lot of those in right now to eat. I ate some last night. and the beefsteak are coming in. I picked a big one, bigger than my fist last night. It's not quite right, but it's getting there. And not only did we make blackberry jam last week, but we did go back and, as I told you, we were thinking about, we picked blackberries again over the weekend. Today's Tuesday, Wednesday. Today's Wednesday, that would have been, anyway, it was this past weekend. And we made blackberry jelly. And without going through the details, it's similar to what I described last episode for the jam. But you take three layers of cheesecloth, and we cook the blackberries. And basically you pour that mixture through the cheesecloth in a bowl, knot the top of the cheesecloth together. And again, we had our fateful potato masher, and we mashed the berries and the juice came out. And we had enough to make 1, 2, 3, 4. We made 4.5 cups. Excuse me. Yeah, 4.5 cups, that's right. And, man, I'm telling you, it tastes really, really good. But it's similar, very similar to the jam, except it's jelly, which means there's no real fruit in it. It's just the juice. But, boy, it tastes really good. And you can go to the blog last week and see a picture of the blackberries after they were picked, and also a picture of the jam in that case. So we're just enjoying that. The jalapeno peppers, I've canned some sliced ones, I've canned some whole ones, and we're gonna be making pepper jelly here in the next few weeks. I'll let you know how that goes as well. And I had picked the sweet banana peppers, and last night we canned them. I came up with a recipe that has sugar and vinegar and salt, so I was able to can a couple of regular sized pickle jars of sliced sweet banana peppers. I'm looking forward to that. Even though I have my preference for what I want them to taste like, I think it's really the recipe that calls for garlic and stuff. But this recipe was more simple, and so I decided to go with that. Not open them now for 6 or 8 weeks, but we'll let you know on toward the fall how the peppers are tasting, because it'll be that long before we open any. But we'll get into the jelly here in another week or two. Need to give it a couple weeks when you make it. And we are going to have figs, as I said. And hopefully make some fig preserves later. The rain last night, they really, really helped. Especially with getting over 3 inches in one shot. The grass had completely stopped growing. And I know that that's going to improve. It's already obviously responding to the rain. So we're thankful for that. Hey, if you are new to the program, I just want to say welcome to you. Thank you for downloading or listening to this episode. However you're doing that, you may have downloaded it through iTunes. You may have saved it on your hard drive and then moved it to an MP3 player. You may be listening on the computer. It doesn't matter. Welcome. And I'm glad to have you along. Just appreciate you taking the time to listen. And if you're new to the program, go back and peruse through the previous episodes and listen to a couple of other ones. I really don't do that very much, but the few times I have, it's been pretty neat to go back and listen to episodes that I taped, you know, a year ago now. And if you're new to the program particularly, well, fairly new, I just encourage you to do that also. I am running down Hasty School Road and I'm almost to the Lowe's Grocery Store Shopping Center. We're going to be turning around here in about 0.4 miles. I think I'll run to my water stop and take water. That's probably that far. And then we'll turn around. We're looking to do 6 today. But I did want to talk to you about a topic this morning, which, particularly if you're new to running or newer, this will mean a lot to you, but it's also good to remember it if you are simply still into running and maybe you find yourself getting to a place where there's just not much happening with your running. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you about how to take it to the next level. I've done all these things, but I'm not doing them all right now for obvious reasons. For the fact that my knee is not 100%, although it doesn't seem to be getting worse. And the fact that I'm not presently in a particular race training strategy. So, these are some things that I ran across and want to share them with you. And actually, Jeff Galloway, it's an article, information from an article that he wrote, which is good. And whether you agree with the run-walk method for longer races or not, Jeff Galloway certainly is a friend of every runner, and he's done a lot to promote the sport, particularly among the everyday, which I'm everyday, but you see what I'm saying, by giving them ways to run and enjoy it with the run-walk method. Needless to say, he picks out some things that I think will be helpful, and if you're sort of stuck in a rut right now, you might want to listen for just a few minutes, because they're very, very basic. But most of the time, we don't hear anything that we've never heard before. Usually, we've heard most of it before. This could be the case, but I think it's worth hearing again. Once you've been pounding the pavement for a while, so to speak, at least 3 days a week for a couple months, you may want to take your runs to the next level by trying a hillier route. If you've not done that, take time off from your regular loop, and maybe you just want to enter a race, first race if you've never raced. Why push it? Because anytime we challenge ourselves to work harder, it stimulates our minds, strengthens our muscles, and there are three areas, I think it is, that he spoke about, and I just want to comment just a minute further about that. It's so easy, whether it's in running or life, to get in a rut. I was talking to a couple recently, some of the counseling, and they're going through that. Basically, they're in a rut, and we were able to offer some, I feel like, some helpful tips. They said it was helpful, and we're going to incorporate them. But life is like that. If you, you know, never read or you never do anything out of the ordinary, no matter how minor it might be, you're going to get in a rut. And your running is the same way. And racing will force you to get out of that rut probably more than anything. But Jeff talks about some other issues. If you want to keep these goals in mind, it'll keep your risk low if you do them the way they should be done. And also, continue to work on, if you're not, I encourage you to check out the Chi Running. I think chirunning.com or .org, there's a website as well, Danny Dreyer's website. But it'll help keep you injury free, I believe, according to testimony of many and what I'm feeling about myself. My right hip is either hip now or no issue, but this left knee injury that I've had, a nagging thing, continues to nag, but I think it's going to get better as well as we perfect it, or try to. Okay, what do you need to do? You need to add some heels. Why do you need to do that? Heel workouts improve leg strength, which if you're doing the Chi method, leg strength certainly is important, but it's not as critically important as if you are depending on power running where your legs are basically propelling you. In this method, such as I'm practicing even at a second, you're falling forward a little bit. Your legs flipping out behind you at the ankles. And maintaining a straight posture and leaning into that central part, that core of your body. And as I straighten my pelvis, I'm beginning to, and lean a little, I'm beginning to get a feel for what that's like. And even after, I don't know, 3 to 4 weeks, I'm beginning to get a feel for what positioning should be. The heels are good. They're going to increase your leg strength. They're going to increase your cardiovascular strength as well. And how do you want to do that? Start with a heel that's just 40 to 50 steps. We're talking real short here. And as you approach it, slow your pace and shorten your stride. And if we're following the Qi method, you want to still lean and use your arms like pistons up and down to let your upper body help power your body up that hill. Let it take the energy and not your legs. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. But maintain your leg cadence and you'll find yourself going up the hill with some confidence. Which, confidence is good, right? We all need a little confidence. And if you can get up that hill reasonably comfortably, that will build your confidence. And then, if you're new to hills, walk back down for recovery. And then maybe run it again. And the following week, add that to it, one each time, until you're up to 6 or so. And do that every week. Which I'm not doing hills right now, but I'm not in training for a race proper, although we will be in the weeks ahead. So that's how you do it. Once a week, try different hills to keep from getting too monotonous. And you'll feel a burn when you try downhill running as well. Secondly, after hills, if you just want to kick up your running a notch, you want to add speed work. Why? Running fast trains your heart, lungs, and muscles to work harder. What you need to do is warm up, then do 3 to 4 30-second pickups. Accelerate from a jog to a pace where you find it difficult to talk, and hold it for 15 seconds. Then return to a jog. Walk for a minute if you need to, and then repeat the process. Cool down and add 1 to 2 efforts each session. If your goal is to run a 5K, work up to 14 of those accelerations. And I think you'll be amazed how much that helps your race effort. So that's the second one. Hills is one, speed work. When do you need to do those? Be sure to rest the day before you do any type of speed work. That's critical, and I failed to mention. But do those speed work sessions about once a week, really. That's what I would recommend. And then, thirdly, add this. Practice racing. Why? Because you'll adjust to the exertion level of your goal. And for those of you who have raced, which is probably the vast majority of our listeners, you know that when you get in a race, that effort is totally different. For one thing, you're all peaked up on adrenaline, and particularly if it's your first race, although I get it with every race, I'm sure you do too, and the thrill of being with that many other runners, the competition of it all, it's just different than when you're out running normally. And so it's good to practice that exertion. How do you do that? Once you're warmed up with, I'd say 15 minutes at least of running, run around a track at your goal pace. Good morning. And if you want to run a mile in 10 minutes, run each quarter lap in 37 seconds. That finishes in 2:28. And it won't equal exactly 10 minutes because tracks are measured in meters and not in feet. And each week, at a half lap at that pace, and before a 1 mile race, run three times around at that pace. And I don't know if I've ever run a 1 mile race, but I'm sure there are some around that will help you with that. When should you do that? Once a week, but not on the same day as hills or other speed work. And I would recommend even having a day between to get over the previous session. Now for me, personally, and Galloway doesn't say this, but I think if you run hills one day, 1 week, and you go for a longer run, next week you might try speed work. But I'm not sure I'd run all that in the same week, particularly if you're beginning and trying to get a feel for adjusting to some speed work. But 1 week do hills, get in a good session. Next week do some speed work. Next week do hills, build it up each time. And then as you get to the near the race, you're going to taper, which basically means you're going to cut back. For 5K, I'd maybe cut back 8 or 10 days before. If you're up to 8 hills, cut it back to 4, your last hill session. And if you're up to the 14 sprints he was speaking of, cut it down to 6. And make sure that within 8 or 10 days of the race, you're not running any speed work. So, those are some thoughts. If you want to give your run a kick, if you're new, or even if you're not, and you've just sort of gotten in a rut, do some hill work, do some speed work, run some race simulation times. Now for me, I don't, at this point, not running any hills other than the hills that I have to run every day, because I have no choice. But as far as being able to run hills in a particular program, I'm not doing that, but I would certainly love to incorporate that. And I think for the marathon, in several months, maybe even the half, in October, I believe I might try to do some hill work, and tempo will basically be, along with the long run, that'll be the staple of my training, and we'll tell you more about that later. I do want to tell you that I appreciate the, oh, by the way, I'll have a link, if I can locate the article, to Jeff Galloway's article that I just quoted from. It's at runnersworld.com. I'll try to post that in the links for this show at the bottom of the post in the show notes. But I did want to say, I received several emails this past week, and I got a couple I want to share with you here in just a second. Right now we've been running 44 minutes, covered 4.6 miles, and we're going to try to get in 6, maybe do a 10K, 6.2. And I'll ring you back in toward the end and share those couple of emails especially I'd just like to share with you. You are listening to episode 59 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast. We have just ascended first hill, second, excuse me, big one. And I am winded. I think we're going to cut it at 6.1. And we're within half of a tenth of being there. Still concentrating on my form. Excuse me. But your form tends to deteriorate when you get tired. So you got to concentrate on that. And I can tell, probably want to work even more on core strength training exercises. Give me that strength in the final steps of a hard run, which this has been. Okay. Let me catch my breath just a minute. Man, I want to tell you, today the humidity is through the roof. After that rain last night, dew was on everything. Heavy dew. It's sort of misty, cloudy, as I said. And while I'm glad the sun's not a factor, the heat, it is. It was 78 when I left the house. High humidity. And that's what we've been dealing with. It seemed like I was okay until the last, I don't know, half a mile, maybe. And then I started feeling it. But we got them in, and they're in the books. So let me, in closing, just share a couple of emails that I received. And again, I appreciate that very much. Dear Roland, I've been enjoying your podcast for the last several months. Bloody congratulations on your marathon. I ran my first on May 15th this year. Photo was attached. And then I replied back and I asked him to send me information about where he lives, runs, that type of thing. I'm 43 years old. I live in Everett, Washington, 25 miles north of Seattle, with my wife and two daughters. The photo was from the Windermere Spokane Marathon in Spokane, Washington, eastern edge of Washington State, obviously. It was hotter than expected, and I blew up at about mile 20. Started short walking breaks at a big hill at mile 16. Struggled home with a 3:49. I'm not upset with the time, especially for my first marathon, but I wasn't thrilled with how the last six or so miles panned out. It was pretty ugly. And I just comment there that, as I told you, Colin, that is a tremendous time, and you don't need to feel badly about that. But anyway, I'm currently injured, my heel, and running limited mileage. Got a 5K this weekend, which I think would have been this past one. Then we'll be running the Ragnar Relay on July 23rd, 24th. My first 50K, Lord and heel willing, will be on October 2nd. 50K, if 10K is 6. Wow, that's about 31 miles. I'm impressed. Thanks again, and I look forward to your next episode. And that is Colin from, as he said, from Washington. And I just want to say, Colin, thank you very much for that email. And his photo will be at the blog by the time you hear this episode, along with several other listeners at this point. And the photo gallery is growing. Send me your photo. And then I want to share just one more from some others that I received. Dear Roland, we just wanted to drop you a quick line and let you know how much we appreciated you, including our song, Spice House's 5 Over 4, on episode 58 of the 20-Minute Runner. Listening to the music you regularly include on your podcast, Roger Subirana's and John Williams songs, we appreciate being placed in such good company, and thank you for introducing your listening audience to our material. Quite frankly, we were amazed to hear you actually running as you recorded this show. Basically, it's all I can do to answer the phone and speak in a modulated voice when I'm walking quickly on the treadmill. Hats off to you. Well, sometimes I wonder, do I sound like I'm about to pass out? But some days you sort of feel like it, Cindy. But although here in New York we are quite a bit north of Thomasville, it has also been in the mid to high 90s these past few days, and we actually broke 100 on Monday. So we can truly empathize with what you've been experiencing. We must say you do have some wonderful surroundings in which to enjoy the warm weather. North Carolina is a beautiful and diverse state to live in. My cousins recently moved to Asheville, and we're hoping to have the opportunity to visit them in their adopted hometown soon. We hear it is lovely. And then she goes on, just in case you happen to be looking, she mentions several bands that they are involved with producing and featuring music ranging from folk rock, Smoke Ring Days, and synth pop Barbarian Lovers to Jam Band World, which is music or jazz, Spice House, and electronica and classical styles, Sinfonia Electronique. And of course, you can get all those at Music Alley. And by the way, she just comments about the proceeds from my book, Going to Hospice. She's worked for both a hospice and hospice advocacy group, as well as in a palliative care facility for people with AIDS. And we brought in hospice with her dad also, and it's truly a respectful and life-affirming approach to care provision. And it's wonderful that you support it through your creative work. Looking forward to listening to you again in the future, and hoping you and Tigger stay well hydrated and happy. With many thanks again, and all the best to you, Cindy. And Cindy, actually, I apologize, I will have this at the blog, but the website for the actual production company that you're a part of, and I apologize, when I copied this to read it, I failed to get that information. But if you'll go to my blog for episode 59, the post, go into show notes, and you will see a link to the music production company that Cindy is a part of, and she's referencing the other music. And we will be using some of the other music, I'm sure, in the upcoming podcasts. And thanks to you, Cindy. I appreciate the email, and when I responded, she responded back. I appreciate that very much. And I just want to say quickly here, if you've never been to Music Alley, check it out. It's not just for morning. It's not just for podcasts. But if you just want to listen to some good independent music, you can do that as well. And as you do that, you can download the albums, listen to them for free, that type of thing. And everything you hear in this podcast, you can go to Music Alley for most of it. But go to the post for each blog and find out information about particular songs. And then I just want to say, go to the website, take the survey if you haven't done so. Send me your emails. I'd love to read them on the air or share some information from them. Send me your listener photos. It doesn't matter where you're running or if you're running. You can be sitting on your deck drinking cold tea. Send me a picture and let me know where you're from and where you run, and I'll be glad to include that with the listener pictures at the blog. And also, finally, send me audio. You can send me an audio clip. Short, I'll edit it if I need to, but we'll be glad to share that with our listeners as well. It can be almost anything. Comment on the show, questions, a brief race report, but you can do any of that by email either. What I'm saying is you can send me any media virtually, and we will do our best to incorporate it at the blog and or in an upcoming episode. Share the podcast with your friends. I appreciate that so much. Many of you, when you email me, you tell me that you've shared it with others, and our audience does continue to grow little by little, and we're thankful for that. And I'm just glad to have you along, and I really do mean that. Without you, what's the point in me doing this? I mean, I do talk to myself anyway, but but you get the idea. All right, let me tell you what we did. We ran 57 minutes, 5 seconds, make it 6 seconds. And, oh, wait a minute. The average speed, 6.4. Average pace, 9:20. The best pace was 6:49. So 9:20 for six, just over 6 miles. I'm glad with good with that. Not sure if I told you how far we went. Distance was 6.11 miles, 6 1/10. But anyway, I'm burning up, and I'm gonna get in and get me something to drink. I don't know if I got time to walk out. I get Cindy to do that. But listen, I'll see you in 7, 8, 9 days, something like that, for episode 60. Thanks for being with me. I hope your running's going well. And again, I can't express to you enough how much I appreciate you listening and being a part of the program. And I hope to hear from you. I love to hear from listeners. I love to hear from listeners. I love to hear from listeners. And I want to hear from you. So, as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. I'll talk to you later. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
That wraps up another episode. I'm glad to have you with me. Check out my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20runner.blogspot.com. From the blog, you can send me an email, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher or feed reader, take the monthly survey, or simply look at photographs of recent races and peruse the past episodes of the podcast, including being able to listen to those episodes if you'd like. Remember, all of the music used in this episode can be found at the blog. All music is used under Creative Commons license. It's been great having you with me this week, and I look forward to seeing you again in 7 or 8 days. Until then, I hope your running's going well, and as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. My name is Roland, and I am the 20-Minute Runner.